Greg's car shopping. And since he lives in Florida, your marketing's probably pushing something a little sporty. Too bad you don't know he's planning a move to Alaska. Turns out, marketing without a clear picture of your customer is like driving a convertible in the Arctic. A bad idea. Learn how TransUnion's 360-degree view of customer identity is bringing clarity to marketing chaos through deeper insights, smarter reach, and precise measurement at transunion.com/clarity.
Like, yeah. No one would be terribly surprised if Andy Farrell picked Robbie Henshaw. Like, oh, he's shit. No, get him out of the team.
That's not what
that's any, what, I don't, that's what that, commenters are saying.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Off the Ball's Breakfast Bite, giving you a flavour of Ireland's sports breakfast show.
There's a very healthy hatred between Meath and Louth brewing. That's according to the Louth manager, Ger Brennan, this week. Delighted to say Mark Ward is with us to help get a little sense of that level of simmering hatred. Mark, good morning to you. How are you?
Morning, lads. Jerk Cullum, how are you?
Hiya.
What is the level of excitement like around Meath generally about the fact that Dublin might be dead for a while?
Yeah, well, loads of excitement. There's a real air of excitement around the county, that there's potentially an opportunity to win a Leinster. And I suppose we'd never say Dublin are dead. I think the last time we bet Dublin in 2010, they went on the run that they did in 2011. So we'd never say they're dead, but good to have them out of the way for this year at least.
Some would actually pinpoint your team running in all those goals, running up the score, you might say, against the Dubs is the thing that caused them to, develop that defensive structure, which proved entirely impervious to all the other teams in the country. Technically, I'm trying to frame it as your fault here, Mark, and your crew's team.
Yeah, look, it potentially was our fault. I don't know if that was part of their reflection that year, but it's certainly stirred something in them. And look, I think as much as that win for us was huge and for Leinster, I think the final against Louth had a bigger impact on us and had a bigger impact on Louth, and completely changed both our seasons that year. Just an unfortunate kind of, I suppose, set of events, and that was the real catalyst for Dublin going on, but certainly gave us a bit of a shock, and we never really recovered after it.
It's 15 years on. Is it still a big part of your life? What happened there? Is it still brought up by people as you try to go about your business?
Yeah, it's brought up a lot. I'm sure Joe, I know Joe Sheridan well, and Joe would say that it said to him almost every day of the week. So I think as the main protagonist, he gets it a lot. People who don't have an interest in football will always talk to me about that final, which is obviously annoying. It's the only Leinster medal I have, and it is tarnished by the events of that day.
Before we get into the actual bit about it, what's your recollection of the build-up to that game? Because you had knocked off the Dubs, and so therefore I think everybody just assumed Louth will give them a game, but Meath will take care of business. Like, there was still enough figures around Meath that there was a sense that Meath are Meath and they're of a higher order in football than Louth. Obviously, things have changed and it's a much more egalitarian society we live in right now. But at the time, I think, if memory serves, Meath would have been heavy enough favourites because of what you'd done to the Dubs.
Yeah, huge. I mean, I suppose, you always try going into matches like that not to get carried away and not to, I suppose, put yourself on that pedestal and think, we're better here. But, on reflection, we definitely felt like we were the best team in Leinster that year. I mean, if you think back, I think we bet Offaly by 10 points. The Laois game went to a draw, but we ended up winning the replay by, I think, 10 or 11 points. And then you go and beat Dublin by 11 points. So, we were dominant. Things were going really, really well. And I suppose not to take anything away from Louth, they were certainly the better team on the day, but it was a huge underperformance for us. And one of the things that really kind of sticks with us is just how much we underperformed that day.
Greg's car shopping. And since he lives in Florida, your marketing's probably pushing something a little sporty. Too bad you don't know he's planning a move to Alaska. Turns out, marketing without a clear picture of your customer is like driving a convertible in the Arctic. A bad idea. Learn how TransUnion's 360-degree view of customer identity is bringing clarity to marketing chaos through deeper insights, smarter reach, and precise measurement at transunion.com/clarity.
I'm delighted to say that we're turning to a big game this weekend, Armagh and Donegal. We have two legends from both counties, Kevin Cassidy and Paul Hardy, on the show. Lads, you're both very welcome. Thanks a million for joining us.
Thanks, lads.
Thanks, lads. Not a bother.
You guys were part of some epic matches at a time when there was, I think, 78,000 attended. The last time you guys played in an absolutely massive game, in a semi-final, I think it was. Paul, what's your recollection of the 2003 season?
A mad sort of season. I suppose we would come into the season as the champions, having won our first All-Ireland in 02. And sort of on the crest of a wave. And then Monaghan ambushed us in the first game in Clonus. And then we ended up going through the back door, gathered a bit of more momentum, licked our wounds. And then got through obviously to a semi-final with the aforementioned Kevin Cassidy and Donegal. And, it was all Ulster at the time. You know, we played an Ulster team in the semi-final, obviously, in Donegal. And then the All-Ulster All-Ireland final with Tyrone. And it was a mad season. It was my second season in the goal, having been in 01 and unfortunately injured in 02. But mad season, and the games with Donegal in Croke Park, like, you know, just the hype around Ulster football at the time, and you know, the attendances at all. You know, we obviously outgrew Clonus at the time, and after that there, I think we did the three in a row Ulster finals between 04 and 06. And, you know, you're talking 60 and 70 and 75,000 at these games in Croke Park for Ulster finals. So it was a really, really special time for Ulster football at the time. And it was a great time to be part of the AMA panel, you know.
Kevin, why do you think the crowds were so significant and massive back then compared to subsequent years?
I'll just reference it there. That, like, you take, not even leaving ourselves out of that, like Armagh and Tyrone were big powerhouses at that time, not alone in Ulster, but, you know, at underage, Tyrone had won a lot, and there was a lot of hype about them, and then obviously Armagh won in 2002, so, you know, the bandwagon in Ulster just grew. We had a decent enough season in 2002 with the replay with the Dubs, and then they beat us, and then, much like Paul, I suppose, season, Brian McEniff came in at the start, and we had a disaster. Fermanagh beat us in the first round. We kind of went away at the back door, regrouped. I think it was Longford was our first game. Gradually built momentum, and then we ended up in an All-Ireland semi-final. And like, Donegal has a massive following, Armagh has a massive following, Tyrone has a massive following. So I suppose when them three teams were involved, you're always going to have a big interest.
You were only 22, Kevin, and it was, I guess, you had grown up watching the team of 92 and how competitive they were. And I guess there was an expectation that you were coming into a group that was going to be competing at this level for many years to come. But actually, that was a bit of an island from a Donegal perspective in terms of reaching a semi-final.
Yeah, definitely. I think, I suppose, after 92, Donegal kind of dipped a wee bit, at least a couple of Ulster finals or what have you, but never had any real success. When I came into the panel, we had some very good players, some very good leaders in the team. You know, like, so you're Damien Divers, you're Brian Ropers, Adrian Sweeney. So there was a core group of us underage. We had a good underage team, like so Christy Toy, Rory Kavanagh, Colin McFadden. We all came into the squad together. And I suppose, like anything, when you're in there, you think you're as good as what you are. But, like, to be honest with you, we've spoken about this numerous occasions. We played Armagh a lot of times in Ulster finals and different things. And if you look back at the game, just the difference in the physical physique was just, you know, off the charts. Like, Armagh were doing stuff that we hadn't heard of. And we could stay with them for certain periods. Even that 2002 final in Clonus, we stayed with them. But towards the end, they just ground us down. And, you know, you knew the work that they were doing then after that.
Paul, when you look back at that period of time, has the game changed significantly since then? And I'm disregarding the new rules now. I'm just, when you're looking back, because we were looking back in research ahead of it, and I wouldn't say, like, it's too much of a blanket statement to say it was frantic and frenetic, but it felt like that a lot of the time.
Yeah, it definitely did. Like, this, I suppose the brand of football that was we tried to employ at the time, you know, we really liked to kick the ball, and we had two great men inside in the full forward line, and Stephen McDonald and Ronan Clark, and great foot passes the ball, and John McEntee, Paul McGrain, Geezer on that there, Aidan O'Rourke, who could play these 40, 50 yard foot passes into these guys. So our game was expansive, it was quick. You know, we like to be very solid defensively in that there. And I think, you know, you're talking about the new rules now. It's nearly coming back to that there, and teams are maybe employing the same sort of tactics, which is, in my opinion, great to see. And, you know, so where we play in cross, that's the sort of brand of football we always sort of played. And I think it's a real positive for the game. And I think we can see the improvement in the games at the time. So I think in relation to how we played the game at that time, you know, we did keep men up the field. We had runners all over the place and try to hit these men. And, you know, when men and like Stevie and Ronan, invariably they always won the ball that came into them. And then you had your runners coming off the side. So, you know, that was the game we played. It was a bit frenetic at the time and frantic, but it was really, really, I enjoyed the sort of brand of football we played at the time. And it's great to see you making a bit of a comeback.
To listen to this morning's Off The Ball Breakfast in full, become a member at offtheball.com/join now.
Jen's the mother of two teens. Her online shopping cart is always full of amps and auxiliary cables, so you might think she's funding her kids' garage band. But what you don't know is she's actually the one shredding on stage. With TransUnion's 360-degree view of consumer identity, you can get a clear picture of your marketing audience and reach people like Jen with messages that are more headbanger, less homebody. See how TransUnion is bringing clarity to marketing chaos through deeper insights, smarter reach, and precise measurement at transunion.com/clarity.